is a podcast from the Royal Air Force Museum. For further information, please go to www.rafmuseum.org/podcasts.
Operation Corporate, the Royal Air Force in the Falklands War. In April 1982, Britain suddenly found herself fighting a war for which she was not prepared. Instead of rolling tank battles over the plains of central Germany against the Warsaw Pact and low-level deep penetration raids by the Avro Vulcans of Strike Command, she found herself fighting for a small crop of mountainous islands deep in the South Atlantic. The Falkland Islands comprise 4,700 square miles of British territory lying off the coast of Argentina, almost 8,000 miles from Britain. Ownership of the islands had been a long-standing argument between Britain and Argentina. On the 19th of March 1982, the Argentinian government, operating under a military dictatorship, seized South Georgia, another British territory some 850 miles east of the Falklands, and then the Falkland Islands themselves on the 2nd of April, in an attempt to divert public attention from growing unrest and economic problems at home. The British public had little idea of where the Falkland Islands were, even though the debate about their future had grown steadily through the late 70s. On their part, Argentina certainly did not expect a military reaction to the invasion. Instead, they believed that a diplomatic response was all that would emerge. When it became clear to the British government that, despite diplomatic efforts orchestrated by the United States, the Argentinians would not withdraw, it was decided to dispatch a Royal Navy task force to Ascension Island in preparation for an invasion. Ascension Island is about halfway between Britain and the Falklands, some 4,200 miles. The island is another British territory, although the main presence in the 1980s was American. Since the Second World War, the United States Air Force had maintained an airfield on the island, wide awake, although it was understood that this could be used by the British when required. Ascension became the springboard for the operation to liberate the Falklands, and for the next few months, wide awake was the busiest airport in the world. The Royal Air Force role in the operation was questioned from the start. After all, the sheer distances involved made deploying aircraft into the combat zone all but impossible. Its aircraft were not equipped to fly such distances, few had any air-to-air refueling capacity, and those that did had not used the capability for many years. However, the Royal Air Force was determined to play a part, and, as events would show, it made several important contributions to the successful recovery of the Falklands. The first was perhaps the most famous, the long-range bombing raids on the airfield at Port Stanley, the capital of the Falklands, known as Operation Black Buck. It would take weeks for the British task force to reach the islands once it was ready to sail. In the meantime, some offensive action was needed to show the Argentinians that Britain was serious in its resolve. The only aircraft available with anything like the capacity to carry out this operation was the Avro Vulcan, which was at that very time being replaced by the new Panavia Tornado and only weeks away from full retirement. Vulcan crews had not practiced dropping conventional bombs for more than 10 years and air-to-air refueling for more than 20. In fact, most of their air-to-air refueling equipment had been removed. Their avionics and countermeasures were also out of date, and they had nowhere near the range to fly from Ascension to the Falklands and back unaided. What followed was 3 weeks of intensive planning and training to allow a handful of Vulcans and their supporting fleet of Handley Page Victor air-to-air refueling tankers to be made ready for the operation. The best crews from several squadrons were selected and put through a rigorous training programme. Aircraft systems were updated and their air-to-air refueling capacity restored, primarily through stripping parts from old airframes, including the Vulcan on display at the Royal Air Force Museum London site. The Victor tankers were concentrated at Ascension, and an elaborate and fragile plan was hatched to support the bombers on their long flight to the Falklands and back. Although the Falklands conflict was comparatively recent, most of the electronic support available to today's Royal Air Force had yet to be invented. A jamming device to fool the enemy's radar was taken from the Buccaneer aircraft and attached to the Vulcan. Even so, the Vulcan would be dropping unguided bombs onto a target at high speed and low level, navigating using the aircraft's H2S radar, a development of the system first introduced for bombers in the Second World War. There was some speculation in the media that the Royal Air Force was going to use long-range bombers to support the recovery of the Falkland Islands. the prospect of attacks on the Argentinian mainland caused some concern, but did not lead to an Argentinian withdrawal. On the 29th of April 1982, 13 aircraft took off from RAF Wide Awake. Two Vulcans, each loaded with 21,000 pounds of bombs, provided the primary and reserve aircraft. This proved a sensible precaution, as soon after takeoff, the first Vulcan, XM598, now preserved at Cosford, developed a fault. The reserve Vulcan took over, and over the next 4,000 miles, the victors kept it topped up with fuel. In the early hours of the 30th of April, the Vulcan dropped its bombs on Port Stanley, severely damaging the runway, before turning for home and the 4,000-mile leg to Ascension Island, again supported by victors. The damage done to the runway meant the Argentinians were unable to operate fast jet fighters from the airfield for the rest of the war, giving the British fleet a significant, if not vital, advantage when the time came to liberate the islands. The success of the mission was met with relief, not least amongst the crews of the bombers and the refueling aircraft who had mounted a raid which was far more dangerous and far closer to failure than the media realised in reporting what had been the longest bombing raid ever attempted. From the Argentinian perspective, however, it was clear that Britain was serious about the use of military force. As a result, air defence fighters were held on the mainland against the possibility of further raids. Six more Black Buck operations followed, five of them with XM598 as the reserve aircraft. The Victor nose section at our London site, XM717, and our full Victor airframe at Cosford, XH672, supported Black Buck 1 and the subsequent Black Buck operations. Black Buck 2 was a near repeat of the Black Buck 1, destroying airfield installations. Black Bucks 3 and 4 were cancelled due to adverse weather conditions, while Black Bucks 5 and 6 were both successful strikes against the Argentinian radar network. The last Black Buck operation, number 7, on the 12th of June, attacked troop concentrations around Port Stanley in the run-up to the final battle to liberate the town. All of these raids were stunning examples of endurance, skill and planning. Black Buck 1 had lasted 16 hours and included a 7,860-mile round trip, a record that was only broken by United States Air Force B-52 Stratofortress bomber operations from the United States during the First Gulf War. The long range of the Victor tanker was soon utilised in other ways, including reconnaissance operations around South Georgia and in support of the British aerospace Nimrod, itself heavily modified to include defensive capabilities and air-to-air refuelling. More direct support to the task force was provided by the Royal Air Force Transport Fleet, particularly the Lockheed C-130 Hercules, itself converted to provide an air-to-air refueling capability, a process that included designing an entirely new system, testing and installing it, all in a matter of a few weeks. On the day that war broke out, Royal Air Force Hercules were en route to Gibraltar with vital supplies. Large parts of the task force had set sail in a hurry before they could be properly equipped. Ships were missing radar components and troops were without ammunition. The heavy lift Hercules was used to deliver these stores to Gibraltar and Ascension, where they awaited the task force's arrival. More mundane items such as mail, vital to morale, were also delivered. On the 16th of May, a single Hercules completed a 24-hour, 6,300-mile flight to drop special forces personnel and stores to HMS Antelope, in preparation for the attack on the Argentinian airfield on Pebble Island. By the end of the war, even longer flights had been made. The Hercules fleet undertook the most intensive RAF air bridge effort since the Berlin airlift in 1948, with four squadrons flying over 13,000 hours of operations. Without their contribution, the task force would have been in no condition to fight once they reached the Falklands. Royal Air Force efforts were not simply limited to softening up the enemy and or providing logistic support to the task force. It also included a presence on the battlefield itself. The Royal Navy's own Sea Harriers were initially used for both fleet defence and ground attack operations, but it was clear that there were insufficient numbers of aircraft to do everything. Royal Air Force Hawker Siddeley Harrier GR3s of No. 1 Squadron were therefore sent south, again using air-to-air refuelling, to join the carriers. Once again, however, there had been another flurry of modifications to get the aircraft ready for this task. Royal Air Force Harriers were ground attack aircraft and so had to be modified for air-to-air combat. This was accompanied by an intensive training period, including dogfights against French Air Force Mirages and Entendards of the type used by the Argentinian Air Force. The Harriers all had to receive numerous modifications to be able to operate at sea, ranging from navigation upgrades to treatment in order to prevent salt sea erosion. Once deployed, in an 11-hour flight to Ascension and then south on board the Merchant Navy vessel Atlantic Conveyor, the Harriers provided vital support for the Royal Navy in protecting the fleet, as well as critical ground support capability. With British forces ashore at San Carlos, a forward operating base was established for the Harriers to conduct ground attack operations in support of the advancing troops. The commander of these ground forces, Brigadier Julian Thompson, would later state that without Royal Air Force Harriers, the Battle of Goose Green would have been lost, a possibly irreversible blow to the task force. Two Harriers were shot down on these operations and a further one crash landed. All of the pilots were rescued. One of the Harriers deployed, XZ-997, is now on display at the Royal Air Force Museum London site. Two other Royal Air Force elements also operated in the beachhead area. Firstly, there was No. 63 Squadron RAF Regiment, who successfully deployed their Rapier anti-aircraft missile systems in defence of the beachhead and the forward landing ground. The second was No. 18 Squadron, formed barely a year before with their single brand new Boeing Chinook HC-1 helicopter. Four had been initially deployed, but three were lost when the Atlantic Conveyor was sunk on the 25th of May. The remaining Chinook, codenamed Bravo November, had been on a test flight at the time and made it to shore. It then carried on doing the work of all four helicopters, lifting supplies, troops and even other helicopters forward to support the advance of the ground forces. On the 10th of June, four more Chinooks arrived to replace those lost, by which time Bravo November had lifted over 2,000 troops and 500 tons of supplies. Even after the end of hostilities on the 14th of June 1982, the Royal Air Force's role continued. Aircraft that had been used to fly personnel and equipment to the war zone were now used to evacuate the wounded and bring other British personnel home. To this day, the Royal Air Force forms the cornerstone of the British military forces left to garrison the islands. The Royal Air Force role in reasserting British sovereignty over the Falklands was vital. Perhaps most remarkable was the adaptability shown by the organisation in modifying its aircraft to operate over immense distances in new or unfamiliar roles. Almost all of the major types used, Vulcan, Nimrod, Harrier, Hercules, had needed significant changes to make them suitable for the task. Hundreds of major modifications were installed, often being designed from scratch and tested in a matter of weeks. It was a tremendous example of the flexibility and innovation for which the Royal Air Force has always been known. If you are visiting the Royal Air Force Museum, you should also look out for the Argentinian FMA Pucara, captured at Port Stanley on display at our Cosford site, and the Falklands Chapel at our London site. The chapel, converted from a storage container, was used by the personnel at RAF Stanley from 1983 to 1986, when the airfield was being repaired and expanded. It is a fitting memorial to all those that served during the Falklands War. Thanks for listening to this podcast from the Royal Air Force Museum.